All lines are now bridged.
Good afternoon, everyone, and happy Friday. Welcome to the Conditions and Maintenance Certification Task Force. Of the task force members, we have Raj Watwani, Carolyn Peterson, and Sasha Termott so far. Have any other members joined? Okay, hopefully others are just running late. With that, I will turn it over to Kate and Raj to get us started on continuations of discussion of draft recommendations.
Sure, this is Kate. I was just going to say I've provided some editorial updates to the Google Docs document and I left some comments in there that I heard from the full high-tech committee meeting this week. Raj, do you have anything else?
No, this is good. So I think, thank you for doing that. And I think what we should spend our time doing now is going through each of these recommendations, starting with recommendation 2, I believe, since 1 was voted on, and work through each of them. Does that work for, so who do we have on the call now? Sasha?
Carolyn.
Carolyn, great, thank you. Yeah, does that work for everybody?
Yep.
Sounds good.
Okay, so I think general feedback was, you know, there's a couple editorial things, like not saying the task force in there since it'll be coming from the committee. But I think the other thing was really teasing out the editorial part of the recommendation and being clear about what we're actually recommending. And so we may want to think about a format change to how we're doing this so that we kind of clearly state the recommendation and then maybe have background or something like that.
Yeah,
does that work for people?
Other task forces had helpful approaches where they kind of separated like regulatory text edits from discussion or considerations. We could maybe see if there was a model that made the most sense.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, and I think some of the ones that were presented the other day I think are good models. So I like the idea of having the considerations piece separate. So as we go through and we're making edits to this, maybe what we can do for now is just try and make that distinction and call it considerations for now, and then at least that text will be segmented out, and we can and then we can format it however we want to.
Okay,
so starting with recommendation 2, changes here.
So it looks like Denise went through and did some editing, which seems fine to me, though I don't understand actually why Denise took out the pilot year supportive comment. Was that just because that would go into a discussion?
Yeah, I guess so. I think you're right. We wanna probably have that in there, and so maybe what we can do is just kind of add considerations there. You got it, Sasha. Thank you.
It also looks like Denise is actually editing right now.
I was trying to see on Google if there's a way to ping her. I sent her an email, but I know that the calendar invite for me was removed, and I'm wondering if the same thing happened for her. Does anyone have a cell phone number for her?
Katie, do you mind just reaching out to Denise?
Yes, no problem.
Either by phone or email.
Okay, so recommendation 2, we're going to move that to discussion of considerations. Move that part to considerations. Recommendation 3, okay, any additional thoughts on recommendation 3? That's a good way to do it.
Sorry, I'm having like real-time chat with Denise in the document.
Is that you that just typed that? I like that.
Under recommendation 5, Denise and I are discussing whether she's going to join the call. I don't know why my text, oh, I have all caps on. That's kind of.
You're yelling at her. Oh, there we go. She had the wrong time.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so while she dials in, hopefully dials in, any other modifications to recommendation three? I don't see much consideration discussion language.
Super trivial one, but I don't, and this is maybe to Dr. Rucker's point about not locking too much into the regs. I don't even know that the clarity that we requested in this case, and I think John had brought this up originally, needs to be in the preamble of the final rule. And so if ONC wanted to provide guidance as to settings for the test plan through, for example, the certification materials for this criterion, that might also be acceptable. The only factor I would have that would say we need to have it in the preamble is that they have to accurately estimate the impact of the regulation. The cost of this proposal will be very much related to the number of care settings and venues. And so maybe they do have to have it. I kind of talked myself out of that point.
Hey, everyone. This is Denise. I'm on, and I apologize. I thought the meeting was at 3, and I was starting to work on the recommendations to put them in the wording that they could be final for the committee to vote on.
Hey, Denise, no problem. Sasha did a great job finding a creative way to grab you.
Get my attention.
Yeah.
That was creative. So just catch me up on where you all are at. Are you all going through the specific items that we need to update or change besides just doing general, you know, I was trying to generally reword these so that they were more specific to what we were referring to in the preamble or the regulatory text?
Yeah, so what we were going recommendation by recommendation.
Okay. All right.
But we could certainly, if there's ones that you flagged that you know we need to rework, I mean, I know there was the one around use of data, use of exchange data that we need to rework. So, I don't know what's the most effective use of our time. I think.
I don't think we should spend time going over what I was doing. If you just look at an example, where I, you know, for recommendation three, I said the committee recommends, you know, they asked us to, I heard a couple of people say to take task force out of here because when they vote on these are the committee's recommendations. So is that right, Kate, in terms of how we advance this or Lauren?
I think, Lauren, do you have an answer?
You mean in terms of, what was the question again, Denise?
So what I heard Arian and I think one other person say is that these recommendations needed to be reworded to say the committee recommends. Then the committee votes on that and agrees or disagrees with what the task force is putting forth, and then they get cut and paste into the overall transmittal letter to Dr. Rucker.
Yes.
So if you, like, look on the screen there where I said the committee recommends ONC provide, not should provide. I mean, we should just say ONC provide more clarity. So I just did some finessing not to change our context or content.
Sure.
And I did say here, like, minimum expectation, setting a floor is, I think, what we're trying to say here. So I'm not trying to change anything we're recommending. I'm just trying to, for us to be more clear about what we're asking ONC to do.
Yeah, understand. I think Arian's right. He may have just been one step ahead of us in that the initial transmittal is from the task force to the committee, and then the final transmittal will be from the committee to ONC. And just to be clear, you know, I think he's right, but I think for the initial transmittal, you know, we can clarify that this is from the task force and not the full committee just yet.
Oh, okay. All right, then I won't make these. I will change it back to the task force recommends. But I'm still going to write the help to finesse some of this in a way that makes it more clear.
Okay.
Okay, so anyway, that's what I was doing. But absolutely right, Raj. There was that item that definitely we need to work on. And I think I have notes on a couple others. But, yeah, so let us proceed, Raj, wherever you were left off.
So I think we were just moving on to recommendation three, and what we decided was we would parse out the text that's more of discussion or considerations. So Sasha did that already for number two. For number three, Sasha, you were raising a point about preamble versus language resting somewhere else.
Yeah, I think I think the preamble is the right place. I convinced myself. The second sentence of the recommendation three could probably go into the discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually made it all one. I just said that
Oh, you did. I see that. Okay.
Yeah, with the goal of making minimum expectations clear and setting a floor concerning which settings and number of settings for the applicable certified health IT modules. I'm trying to, I actually changed some of our wording to match what's in the, because I actually opened the regulatory text, and the regulatory text is very general. It just says care settings. But the preamble mentions it, but doesn't go into much detail. I really think we're trying to get them to say in the preamble what kind of floor are they setting. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I'm comfortable with three.
Okay.
Carolyn, good with three?
If we're getting
there, I was on mute. Yeah, I'm fine.
I would avoid saying setting a floor when we're talking about settings, like care settings, because it's kind of confusing. But
okay. Well, we could just say establishing which setting. And the number of settings. That makes sense. So we said we want minimum expectations, so that is kind of like a floor without saying
so
a floor.
Is there a reason in four that we're having the ONC ACBs provide a template rather than having ONC make a template?
I think, wasn't it John that said that the ACBs have done this for other things? They had the ACB provided it. I mean, I don't care who provides it, but
it would just seem strange if your template varied based on which ONC ACB you picked, in my mind.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Sasha. I think the same thing. I think we could be agnostic about who creates it, but maybe what we can say is that it's a standard or a standardized template that's created.
Okay, and also provide a standardized. Also suggest the creation of a standardized template.
I think in the safety enhanced design sort of corollary, we actually have the template coming from NIST.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know that we need to call out who creates it unless you want.
No, I think this is fine. And then I think we can probably cut the second sentence because it's not really adding much.
No, it's not. But it is the ACBs that are going to be reviewing the test plans, so wouldn't they be expected to inform what should go in the template as a because we kind of talked about that after they assessed the plans from the pilot year, we could just say that should inform the minimum requirements for an acceptable test plan. Yeah, I was just trying to take all of what we had in there and kind of say who we're asking should do what and where. Obviously, this is not in the regulatory text. It really just tells the ONC-ACDs to comply with or to ensure that the health IT developers have complied with what's specified elsewhere in the regulation concerning certification.
I'm just editing. Trying to be clear. I think that uses less words than we had before, but makes the same point.
And then we,
people
okay.
Hear me? Did I get cut off? Oh, okay.
I know. I hear you. Wow, that's a lot more succinct. What do you think, Carolyn? You're the tech writer.
I think it's good. I think it's fine.
Okay.
I don't know that the regular rules of normal communications apply in this kind of a situation anyway, so I'm happy to defer to the experts on the terminology.
All right, and obviously we'll have to change it back from committee to the CMC task force. I misunderstood what was being said at the meeting. It seemed like some of the members felt that when they vote on this, it should say the committee. But I get it. It's a procedural thing.
So I think we're on 5, right? I'm okay with how Denise has updated 5.
Yep, I agree. Okay, are we okay?
And is that clarity? Excuse me, is that clarity? I mean, do we want to say when we're talking about the preamble? Because I don't believe there's anything said in the regulation. Yeah, there you go. I think you might need a space there. There we go. Okay. Do we want to specify which paragraph in the regulatory text? You know, I know the other task force is doing that. I have it in front of me if you want it.
Sure.
It's 170.405. B, 1, numeral, oh, they actually have a typo in here. They have numeral 2 twice. I found one other typo in the regulatory text, too, where they had a letter referred to that didn't exist. This is on page 654 of the PDF version. And it should be Roman numeral in open and close paragraph, Roman numeral 3, and then capital A. Let me see what you've got there. So B, 1. Am I able to type in there or just you? Oh, there, you've got it. Okay.
And then you need I got it. Oh, this is the one where it's like labeled as IA Bridge.
Yeah, I don't know if Kate or if you have access to this, but it has Roman numeral 2, II twice in the regulatory text.
Okay, thanks, Denise. I know there were a couple we already caught, but I'm going to highlight flag that one as well, and I'll double check. Thank you.
Yeah, so we should be referring to Roman numeral III and then in parentheses capital A. And that's where it talks about scenario and use space focused testing. And they'll need to update the preamble as well, because I think they use the same terms in the preamble. Yep. So if you'll say in the regulatory text and in the preamble at the end of your sentence there, Sasha. Okay.
Apparently, I'm anonymous Kraken.
Yeah, whoever that is, you must not be logged into your Gmail.
I am logged in though. Like when I comment stuff, it becomes me. I don't know why I'm a Kraken. Okay.
Yeah, when that first came up, I was like, "Who is that?"
Well, I usually come up as the anonymous hippo or something.
Oh, really?
Mhm.
They must give us Google must give us funny names.
Sometimes it uses strange animals that you've never heard of or that you don't hear about often.
So recommendation 7, are we asking them to incorporate incorporate this in their preamble? Say that they
in
have some discretion.
It says that
we're still on number 6. I didn't know if
no,
you jumped
in,
down.
In 7, they say that the testing methods and methodologies must include scenario and use case focused testing.
Yep.
And so we were saying, in addition to scenario and use case focused testing.
Oh. Okay, so then we want them to add that to 170.405B13A.
Right. I guess we could just say we recommend modifying.
Yes. To also include, because they've got to resolve the issue about scenario and use case, so we probably don't want to confuse matters. Do we want to be what about the little thing in the paragraph, also possibly automated? That came from John, I think.
I think that's just a clarification. I think if we include automated testing and regression testing, it's clear that regression testing, any multiple types of testing might be automated. So I think that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, the more specific and crystal clear we can be here without extra fluff in here, it's going to be easier for the rest of the committee to vote on.
Right. I'm going to clean this up just so that it's readable. We could actually, I guess, just for clarity, what's the text? I don't know, is that helpful?
Yeah, except that obviously they're going to have to do something with scenario and use case focused, that those are not two different things, right?
I would assume that would come out of recommendation 6, yeah.
Okay. Everybody else okay with that?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And I also, and maybe this is just me looking at the wording, I think we actually mean or here, right? When they said scenario and use case-based testing, since those seemed the same, it didn't flag me. But when we're talking about this whole list, I don't think we mean every case has to use all of these. It's like there's more to pick from.
Yeah, right. You're right, Tasha. I think that's right.
And then that takes care of that word, that recommendation where we said provide some discretion.
Right.
And or allows them to do that.
Okay, 8?
I think you have, is the criteria there a typo? Or is that the way it is in the text?
That is copied from the rule.
Oh, okay. Criteria's requirements. Yeah, because it's got a squiggle under it. All right. That came right out of the rule. Okay. All right. This is the messy one that we have to figure out what we're doing with. Got a bit of feedback
on that.
Yes,
but it seems like we want to, I guess, divide it up, and I'll just start editing to kind of put into, like, the recommendation portion and the, like, discussion portion.
Mm-hmm. And rather than the ONC should provide, why don't we say the CNC task force recommends ONC provide? That's a lot stronger than just should provide. We're telling them recommends ONC provide. And that would be in the,
we'll go into the
preamble. Because if I'm, let me look at the regulatory text. I don't think there's anything specific in the regulatory text. I don't think they want to put that kind of detail in there anyway. Nope. No, that's all in the preamble. The preamble is not clear.
I think most of this second paragraph is discussion, moving it down. And the recommendation I think that the task force wanted to make was actually that task force recommends ONC checks that if health IT developers are testing the use of data received through Exchange, there should be users involved. The rest of this is sort of discussion as to why.
What about the part where we said the CNC task force recommends that use of data testing validate
I read that, I guess maybe I'm just misreading it as sort of why this is important, not a separate recommendation. What would be the action step based on that?
Well, I guess, okay, this comes from a lot of feedback from a lot of, you know, different CIOs at health systems and provider organizations. They believe that the program up to this date until this rule came out has really focused on getting information, like on view, download, and transmit. It was focused on getting information out of the EHR and sending it somewhere, with not enough focus on what happens when it's received in the EHR, and that there's no guardrails around them getting usable information into their EHR that they can actually view, take action on, be able to report along with their own native data.
I understand, and I share that concern, but I mean, I don't think it's the role of this task force to dictate a particular design approach. What we're talking about here is what would be the expectation of testing that might further that goal. So I think it's fine in the discussion to say this is the concern that we heard in feedback that motivated our recommendation. The recommendation that I'm seeing is actually have actual users involved in testing the use of data received through Exchange. And then the goal of that would be that that would focus on the usability of the data that's exchanged by involving the users in the design and testing process.
Yep. Oh, and you do say that providers can process that data. Or I would say not just providers, but that users can process and use that data.
Providers to users just in general.
Yeah. So, and then we left that down in the discussion. Yes, thank you for adding that because we were missing that.
And then down in the discussion, users.
So up above, though, in the second paragraph under the recommendation, can we say usability testing? Because I think it's still not as strong as it could be. If we say usability testing, we're not mandating or being prescriptive about the specific methods, but I think it gets at what we're trying to get at in a stronger way.
So, Raj, I guess maybe one of my questions is, whether that term usability testing is consistent with how I understand the real-world testing definition to be, what would you perceive as the meaning of putting the word usability there?
I would think that stresses that we want to understand whether the intended user population can process that information with efficiency, effectiveness, and satisfaction, kind of coming back to that core definition of usability that ONC relies on.
Well, we could just say, rather than using that term, that users can process and use that information in an efficient, effective manner or something like that. Would that be? Or use some of those adjectives that you would normally see in usability.
So what are the concerns of using the term usability?
I guess just in my head, and this is perhaps why I'm asking for clarification, I think of that as very lab-centric when you are doing those types of measurements of, like, a user's effectiveness, for example. And with the emphasis on real-world testing, which I imagine happening in a much less controlled environment because of the emphasis on it being real-world,
yep.
I was trying to put together in my head if it would be possible to use the same sorts of measures of, for example, effectiveness in that setting. It's maybe possible. That's what I was trying to process. And so I was trying to reconcile in my head what I consider to be typically a more lab-centric type of measurements with my vision of what was intended by real-world testing. Does that make sense?
It does make sense, yeah. I don't think that I think you can have, and people do usability testing in real-world environments.
Sure.
So I don't know that those are necessarily contradictory to each other, but I take your point. I think people might have that perception, but I think you can do, and people do usability testing in the real world, and in fact, it's recommended that you do that because that's where you can really see a lot of these issues unfold. But you're absolutely right. You lose a lot of control compared to laboratory testing.
Right. So where would we put the usability word here?
Oh, right. It could be, we could say something like, after the comma, after exchange, these are the data received through exchange, the health IT vendors conduct usability testing with intended users to validate their ability to process and use that information.
We're saying usability testing, the validate seems extraneous.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I think if there's discomfort either on this task force or more broadly on the committee with the term usability, then Denise, I think we can say, okay, let's move that term. But I think we could say effectiveness, efficiency, and satisfaction. But if we're going to say those, we might as well start by saying usability. My worry is if we just say
you have to test
with intended users or users. You're still not saying what you have to test. Like, what are you actually testing
for?
So I think we do need to bring some concreteness as to why this testing is being conducted with users.
I like that change that Sasha just made.
Yeah. I like the way that sentence reads.
I think it's okay. I do have reservations that the cost of involving users at all, I guess, irrespective of the most recent edit, the cost of involving users in this type of testing definitely implies a very significant expense that wasn't estimated, and that we have to think is going to be worth it. But I think this edit is kind of irrespective of that overall concern that I'm still working through in my head.
So, Was this a place where Aaron was suggesting the use of synthetic data?
No, I think that was elsewhere where we called out some of the testing and he suggested that we look to some existing resources on synthetic data.
Oh, okay. Well, and then the other thing I was going to say here is I know Ken, I don't know if Ken's on. He had quite a bit.
I'm on.
Oh, hi, Ken. Ken had a lot of concerns about the cost and the burden on the users, particularly the providers, I would say. When this came up at the meeting, and I'm going to throw this out at you, Sasha, are you still the chair of the EHR Association? Under him?
I am the vice chair, yes.
You're the vice chair?
Yep.
And I don't remember who suggested this idea, is to maybe have the association consider how they might enlist him to get involved in setting up some real-world testing framework that would satisfy, that would minimize the cost for everybody by doing it together, kind of thing. Get all the vendors together to set this up, because obviously ONC can't afford to do it.
I do think it's likely that vendors will want to cooperate with each other to test, because if you're testing the interoperability between two products, that makes sense. I mean, John and I used that as an example in a previous meeting. We could test our products together. I guess I don't know that significantly changes the cost, though, Denise, because the cost component, I guess I'm taking the involvement of vendors as a sunk cost into this whole proposal. It's the provider investment. And so if the vendors are testing and it's only a problem of scheduling the two different or five different or however many vendors participate, That's different than if there need to be a certain quantity of users involved. And if each of the products from five different vendors needs to have 10 different users involved and their usability reactions to each of, for example, the received messages or incorporated data needs to also be measured, it's the provider involvement or the user involvement that dramatically changes the cost.
Yeah, I see your point. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Tasha, I think
testing of exchange versus testing of use.
So I think the cost point is a really big and important one, and I think it's on the vendor side also. I understand that you're considering that a sunk cost, but I wonder if in the discussion we can articulate the breadth of the testing that should happen and the number of participants and so forth. Because I think if you look at what they've done with safety enhanced design, where they've constrained it. Originally, I think it was 8 key functions that had to be tested, and now it's 12 or whatever the number is. I wonder if we can couch this in a similar fashion and have it stratified by potential risk to help that selection process. And I still think there's too much ambiguity to know to what extent that testing needs to be conducted. But maybe we can stress that we believe it should be only for some high-risk functions. And perhaps it's a reduction in the sample size or something to that effect to help control some of those costs. And then potentially also not occurring at every site. And again, it's unclear to me how the overall that real-world testing is going to unfold, how many sites, et cetera. But I think to alleviate the, I think all of us are sort of, and we talked about this the last time, that we think the testing is important, but the cost burden is significant. So I'm wondering if we can find a happy medium there.
Yeah, well, I started to, I guess, slightly below what's showing on the screen in the discussion section, say we did significantly discuss the cost of the proposal for multiple players. There's other interoperability partners who would be involved, provider organizations. Concern, like maybe as Raj just said, with how to prioritize where testing is helpful without unnecessarily increasing burden. I don't know that we have a total answer to this, I guess.
No.
But it is helpful to kind of capture that we've spent a lot of cycles talking about that and include that in the discussion.
Yeah, and you know, I think we all recognize that this is really important, and it was a huge concern for the CIOs. They said we're just not there yet. I think they recognize that, you know, they have to have their organizations involved to some extent with their vendor in doing some of this testing. They didn't seem against it. They see this as necessary too, and you know.
I wonder if we can add another line there, Sasha. I like what you have, but I wonder if we can have another line in there that says something like ONC should really consider really titrating the testing by the risk of the actual function or usage of the data.
I wonder if that would actually be a recommendation and not a discussion consideration.
Yeah.
I agree. That's what I'm not sure exactly where that fits. I'm not sure.
Is that a fair summary? I guess I'll be more clear. To reduce unnecessary, or I guess to just reduce costs in general, it might be necessary costs, the task force recommends ONC prioritize real-world testing.
For the task force, you need committee. We can do all those changes later.
They're going to do it all later with control.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
I think that makes sense.
Okay, and then the sentence in the paragraph above it, I just moved into the discussion because it was more of a discussion consideration than a recommendation. So I will
leave
so we have it clean.
Glad we got through that one. And I would say the task force recommends ONC clarify. And I think that's in the grant. Yeah. Why don't you say in the final rule preamble, and we'll have Kate or Excel go back and catch it where we didn't do that elsewhere and just... there you go.
On the next sentence here, so it says the provider should be involved. We have that in recommendation 8. Is it okay if I cut it here?
Yeah, that seems redundant. Oh, but the final rules need that address the use of.
Yeah, I think you can cut it.
We'll say here instead that TF recommends ONC provide guidance on testing options.
And do we want that in the in the preamble as well?
And then I think this that I have highlighted that's going right onto the top of page 6, actually, was also accommodated in the previous one.
We have to go to public comment, and then we can come right back to this.
Okay, thanks, Denise. Operator, can we please open the public line?
If you would like to make a public comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your comment from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys.
Okay, I don't see a lot yesterday, but do we have any comments in the queue?
There are no comments at this time.
Okay. All right, Denise, I think we have plenty of time to wrap up on this last edit.
We do have a commenter in the chat. I don't know if... Didi, are you planning to make an official public comment?
And even though it's in the, she only typed it here, it will still be captured in the formal record.
So just to read it off so that if anyone's just on the phone, Didi in the chat says that the Sequoia project performs real-world testing today for the eHealth Exchange Network that exchanges data with 75% of U.S. hospitals with federal agencies. It might be good to include comments that industry programs should be assessed. The testing that is performed today covers transport, security, and content for data quality.
You know, that sort of relates to, and I don't remember if it was John who said it, actually I think I heard this from Steve Posnack, that it was the intention of ONC that some things that would be acceptable is like carrier quality, Commonwealth, some of those avenues for testing in the test plan would be acceptable. But they don't really call those things out in the preamble. So it's and what Didi is saying here, I think, applies more to the actual exchange of the information, not the use of the information, right?
I wonder if we went back to earlier when we were editing 17405B1 IIIA, talk about testing methods and methodologies. We added automated and regression testing. I wonder if that would be a place where we would want to say something like recognizing other industry activities would also be acceptable. Or maybe that's more of the discussion around this edit. I mean, I don't think it would necessarily happen in the regulatory text.
Oh, but we should have it in the preamble. I think that'd be a good place to recommend they
So maybe
reference
if we're clarifying
that.
The terms in 6, we would add to 6 to say that the task force recommends that ONC also acknowledge in the preamble where existing industry testing, such as that performed by the Sequoia Project in this example, might already exist.
Right, for interoperability testing.
How does that sentence look?
So I would take the that out in front of ONC and put it, the task force recommends ONC clarify in the preamble that where existing interoperability testing.
I think it's better without the.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Okay. Now I'm reading. All right. Recommend clarifying where existing. You want to put the final rule preamble. Existing interoperability. Now, is this expectations for all testing? Would that include the use testing? Probably not, right?
I guess if an existing network did use-based testing, maybe it could, though I would expect that in
yeah.
most cases it would be not use-based.
Okay.
Okay, so I would say
can satisfy expectations for real world testing. So it can stand on its own.
Okay. So are there other public comments that we need to take before we move on?
I don't think so. Operator, do we have any comments in the queue?
There are no comments in the queue at this time.
Okay.
Okay, so my only comment on 9, which is I think where we were when we left off, was that the final sentence, which is yellow and just speaking off the end of the screen, seems to be already covered in 8, so I think we can cut it from 9.
Right. Yeah, in fact, I think that was a little disjoint. I think, you know, I noticed that was down there, and I thought that needs to be up with the other part where we talk about this.
Okay, so we've got that cleaned up, and it can
I made a note to myself on that, as a matter of fact.
Okay. We want to keep going on 10?
I'm good. And then let's make this affirmative. The task force recommends ONC allow for. Now, where are we suggesting this goes? Are we saying the CMC task force suggests the final rule preamble address the following?
In the
Or is this going to be regulatory text?
I'm looking at the regulatory text again.
I have that page open too.
I don't know that the regulatory text is specific enough that it addresses this, and I don't know that it has to. I suspect it's preamble.
Yeah, I wouldn't think this would go in the regulatory text.
Oh, in the regulatory text or the preamble?
Oh, no, I was agreeing with you. Raj and Carolyn, are you in agreement?
Yeah, it works for me.
Yep.
So do we want to say the CMC task force suggests the preamble address the following up above, back on 10. Okay.
Yeah, I think that works.
And recommendation 11, yeah, that's definitely preamble because there's only one line in the regulatory text about having a measurement. So, folks, we're at the top of the hour. We want to continue with this. Our next meeting is Wednesday.
I mean, I think we could keep going through 10 now, or we could adjourn and pick it up on, we finished 10 next week. We could certainly look at it a bit offline and make some of the editing suggestions that might help us move a little bit more quickly next Wednesday, too.
Yeah, that would be good. And then, Raj, are you available next Wednesday? Because I do have an 8 o'clock conflict right now. I'm trying to get changed. And that's, 8 o'clock central time. I believe our meeting's at 9.
I'm actually out next Wednesday through Friday.
Oh, you are? Okay. We'll talk on our debrief meeting about whether we can move a meeting.
Okay, but I think Sasha's point is exactly right about us doing a lot of kind of editing offline so we can move faster on the calls. All right, great. Well, thank you, everybody. Appreciate everyone joining.
Thanks, Sasha, for your help.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Bye-bye.